Verulam Sports.
Hello again and welcome to Verulam Sports. This is Tony Rice and it has been the Masters. Goodness me, what a strange period of time we're living through. The last Masters, the green jacket was awarded to Dustin Johnson back in November. And it's April as it had ought to be and everything's beginning to get back to normal. To discuss the 2021 85th instantiation of the wonderful US Masters, always from Augusta, it's an honour and a privilege to welcome back St. Albans' own European Tour golf referee, Gary Tate. Gary, how are you?
Hey, Tony, guten Abend. Good evening. Hey. How are we? How are you doing?
Doing good, doing good. Unfortunately, the only sort of Austrian stroke German that I can recall from school is Nein. So I don't know if that's any use.
Also ties in with our favourite score in golf. Then.
I tell you what, that was genius, Gary. I like what you did there. Brilliant stuff. Anyway, just before we unpack the Masters, Gary, I was talking to a friend of mine, not a big golfing fan, really, generally speaking. But he says, for some reason, Tony, I always watch the Masters. I just love it. It is, of course, the green jacket. It is, of course, of all the four majors, the constant venue. They're the wonderful Augusta. But can you explain why it is for that guy that I know and a whole load of others that the Masters has such an allure?
Well, I think you nail it there. I think the first thing about the Masters, it's the same place every year. It's like the tennis tournaments. They've got an aura about them because they're back to the same place. But this is a golf course, and all golf courses are different. So this is, apart from the Open, which has a rota, this is a major which is back on the same golf course, purpose built for a major every single year, and it's run by the owners. It's run by the members. And they're passionate about it, and they can do what they want with it because it's their tournament and it's their major, and it just oozes aura because of that. I think that's all it is. It just looks so purpose built, and it's so right for it, and it's the first one of the year as well, of course, which I think gives it a bit of a buzz. Certainly to me, anyway. And I think that's same course every year, and the first one.
Absolutely, and it was a great event. Historic one. We're going to talk all about history maker Hideki Matsuyama very shortly. But just before we do that, you set me a little bit of a challenge, and you got involved, Gary, being a man who, you know, takes up the mantle. A few pre-tournament predictions. You were asking who I thought would be the leading European, and I went Jon Rahm. I think I got that right. You asked who I thought would be the... I actually thought Ram would win the whole thing, actually, but that's by the by. I then flipped it a little bit and you asked for the US top finisher. I went Dustin Thomas. Not so great, 21st. And then outside shouts, I always fancy Louis Oosthuizen, the South African. So consistent. Again, not so great. You went with yourself there, with picking up the challenge, and went with the winner, Jordan Spieth. We'll talk Spieth. Impressed with him. Top European, you went Sergio Garcia, and an outside bet answer again coming in at 26th. A lot of fun there, Gary. I enjoyed that challenge, and your thoughts on the breakdown of how we did.
Well, just hang on a minute there before we go any further, because I threw the challenge down and you threw the challenge straight back at me. But I think it's worth telling everyone that we came up with exactly the same three golfers. No word of a lie. You gave the same three golfers as me. Not a word of a lie. So I was forced to go back to the drawing board. I wanted Mr. Rahm in there. I wanted the nappy factor, as they call it. New
Indeed,
dad. I wanted
absolutely. Him in there.
And I was forced to go to Garcia, who'd been playing well, but the greens were too spicy for him, and he faded away. JT, Justin Thomas, dripped away. But I'll take my replacement in Spieth. But Abraham Anser, the Mexican golfer, yeah. It was a week for the odd outsider, but you did me there. But you completely gobsmacked me with your three identical choices. Unbelievable! You couldn't make it up. So it was a tough one, and you'd done your research well. So I think you probably came out on top there. But I got lucky having to rethink at very short notice, and they put me on the spot. And I think honours even the two of us.
I think that's very well said. I think it goes to prove, Gary, he says, sticking tongue firmly in cheek, the great minds think alike, perhaps. But there we go.
Well, I've heard that people say fools often differ, but you do say I'm a good chooser. I'm not allowed to have a bet. It was just a a gentleman's podcast theme, and it was very strange how that came out. Very, very strange. So you've obviously done your research, and you know your golf.
Oh, well, I try. But again, a historic win, wasn't it, for Matsuyama? The first major winner from Japan. Golf is a global sport. It always has been. But just how important do you think this will be now for maybe a ripple effect throughout Asia?
Well, I mean, he's been a good golfer for 10 years. I mean, it's his second victory. It's his second victory in some respects that took him to Augusta. He won a tournament invented by the Augusta members, the Asian Amateur, a tournament set up by them. And the winner would be qualifying for Augusta. So he played it as a 19-year-old and came top amateur, having won that. So here we are 10 years later, and he's popping the green jacket on. I mean, an incredible result for a nation that is absolutely immensely absorbed in golf, absolutely fanatical. Now, we need to be a little bit careful. He's the third major winner from Japan. Good quiz question. We've got two lady Japanese professionals who've won, dating back to 1977. So we need to be careful there in the current era of inclusivity. But yeah, I mean, as a male winner of a traditional major in a year where the Olympics, which includes golf, is held in Japan, Tony, I mean, you know this, how this is going to be. I mean, it couldn't be better. And he seems to be a delightful character. He played the game really well. Some of his golf shots. He's a tremendous iron player. Tremendous iron player. And that was shown in how tough the course was and how tough the greens were. He really won it well. And he took it to a strong field on the last day, and they couldn't sniff him, even though it got a little bit close to the end. But I think it's massive. I mean, the media coverage of golf in Japan is enormous. Just tie that into the Olympics, and I think we've got a great winner.
Yeah, absolutely. I was surprised, coming back to our little pre-tournament friendly exchange of ideas, that you didn't go Xander Schauffele, who I know you always highly rate. And I tell you what, it was getting tasty. You went four straight birdies, didn't he? But then they came a foul of the 16.
I knew you'd throw that back up at me. Ever since we've started these, I've always gone for him. I rate him. And I also rate a gentleman, Cameron Smith, who was in and out as well, who came very close. But, I mean, Schauffele, it was interesting. He had a horrific spell around the tough holes of 4, 5 and 6, dropping four shots to be seemingly out of it. And then an unbelievable sort of 3 or 4 birdies into the back nine, culminating in Matsuyama going into the water on 15. And he was only a couple of shots in it at that point on the 16th tee. And going first, all he needed to do was shove it in close on that great par 3.
Absolutely.
And he banged it in the water, and it was game over. So he got so close. Fantastic competitor. And he's normally my first in. And I didn't go with him this year. And I didn't go with Cameron Smith as my outsider. And they were there and thereabouts. But yeah, still a very good player. And he probably will be kicking himself, because he could have put the squeeze on there.
Yeah, absolutely. But I tell you, I think there's a major in that man's future. I've got no doubt about that in my head. Let's just quickly talk about a man I dearly would love to interview one of these days, Justin Rose. I've spoken to you about him in the past. I truly believe he is, across all sports, one of the UK's most underrated sports stars. Turned 40 just recently, an amazing opening round, led through 2 days. It did slightly fizzle, but again, Justin Rose reminding us all of just how consistent he is at these big tournaments. And I think one of the most impressive sports stars this country's ever produced.
Well, I mean, you give me a hard time about not putting Schauffele in there. And I always go for him. I keep going on about how good this player is and that player is. But your tried and trusted favourite player is, who is he? Don't it? Justin Rose. You always like him. You always favour him. You always talk him up. Rightly so. Not coming in with a lot of form, a bit of injury trouble in the players and tournaments in the States. Here he comes, and he's leading after the first and second and third rounds. And you haven't picked him, Tony. What's gone wrong there? What's going on?
You know what? I was, again, as with yourself, with Soufflé, he was almost there. I almost dragged him out. But I just didn't see enough form from him coming into this tournament. But again, just reminds us that he's such a capable performer. I was delighted to see him contending so powerfully. Again, as you say, was leading through three rounds. Very impressive. But the leading European, again, a guy I did pick, so yay me, Jon Rahm. This guy's got a major in him as well.
You had to get it in. Yeah,
absolutely. That's what these challenges are for, Gary. But yeah, again, a powerful finish for Rahm. 6-under on the last day. But I guess a little too late for him. But yeah, he's now in the last four visits to Augusta, 37 under par, which leads the world. So again, just we're talking Justin Rhodes' consistency. Jon Rahm there reminds us, and again reminded us powerfully on the last day, that I'm sure there's a green jacket in his near future.
I think so, yeah. I mean, he's that's a good stat you've come out with there. That's fascinating stat, that is. I mean, yeah, he's obviously a fan of the course. I think they asked him in one of his interviews why it suited, well, him. And he said, well, maybe it suits all Spanish players because the greens are tricky and it's tough, and Seve and Garcia and Olazabal. Etc. So yeah, I think he's cementing himself as a star of the future. We'll be seeing him in the Ryder Cup, and maybe he'll be in your picks for one of the next three majors, starting with the USPGA next month. And we'll probably have this conversation again and see how we go. You should maybe convince yourself to go with him for the season. I think he's certainly got the nappy factor, having just become a dad. He's riding the crest of a wave and enjoying life, but he's a very good golfer. Got the all-round game, as you've spotted.
Absolutely, just got a lot of time for him. And congratulations to the Rahm clan. Great stuff there. Now, again, coming back here to our little challenge, Jordan Spieth, great shout. And I think this is good for the game. A three times major winner. And again, right in contention. Finished 7-under. Fantastic effort. And for me, it's great to see Jordan looking like he's getting close to his best.
Yeah, I mean, he's been through the doldrums, as well, in respect that a world number one can go through the doldrums. But he did slump down a little bit, all down to confidence. And it's good to see that the game hits those that can play it well, purely on confidence. The technique was no different, really. It was just a confidence thing. I mean, it's such a mind-bending game and the margins are so tight. But when you're confident, it works. And he's got great form leading into it. He won the Texas Open there the week or so before the event. And he'd been podium finishing, shall we say, third and fourth most weeks in the events he'd been playing. A little bit less jumpy on the course, but obviously more confident with his own game. The putting was back. That's where it works for him. Very good putter, so he's held a lot of putts, and he's quite a charismatic, a sort of talisman sort of player. Mm-hmm. And he makes a lot of mistakes, and he makes a lot of good shots. So I think the good shots are outweighing the mistakes. And even at Augusta, he probably should have done better. I think he probably shouldn't have done better.
He did leave a few out there, didn't he?
But there was a chip on 15 on the second round, which was just like Shane Lowry's was going from the back of the green at no speed. It was going into the water, hit the flag and dropped in. So that turns a 7 into a 3. It swings and roundabouts, as all golfers will know. They always talk about the ones they left out there. They just seem to forget about some of those great big long raking putts or things that bounce off trees. So
I'm all, it's funny that, isn't it?
Isn't it funny that is? It must be a sportsman's thing, but it balances itself out. But I think he's good for golf. He's an all-American boy. He's a little bit quirky. He appeals to a lot of people. He's very popular in Europe, and I think he's good for the game, as is Mr. DeChambeau. But in a different way. But I think they're good. There's sort of a character to them, as is Jon Rahm.
Yes.
So in that respect, there's a bit more there, and I'd have liked to see him win it. But I'm quite happy for who won the tournament in the end, because he played the best golf overall, I think, in Matsuyama.
Definitely more to say on Matsuyama, but just quickly, massive credit, as you said, to the first male winner from Japan of a major. Fantastic work. But I want to say this much, Gary. Whilst that was astonishing, great work, that amazing green jacket is his now for life, I thought maybe the performance of the whole tournament, for me, actually went to baby-faced assassin, as I consider him, Will Zalatoris, just 24 years old. His first Masters appearance, finished second with an impressive 9-under. And he was close. I mean, goodness me, just in context, it's only Fuzzy Zola in 79 who's won the Masters on debut. But this young man, I just think he's got a game. I think he's a real talent.
Well, yeah, he's one who, to coin a phrase, has been trending towards the top of the leaderboard. He's moved his way up from a brief but very successful career at the most famous of golf colleges in the States, Wake Forest, the Arnold Palmer Academy at Wake Forest University, home of many top pros now. And he came in, he played very well on the Korn Ferry Tour, which is sort of second tier tour on the PGA Tour, played his way in there. And wouldn't it have been just something for the statisticians to purr over the two players in the most recent era to have won the tournament at the Masters on debut, both having surnames that begin with it?
Fuzzy Zola and Will. If there is a possible universe where that's the case, and as you say, statisticians are literally salivating. Great effort, though. I think he will be back. No questions about it.
Tell you what, 100%. 100%. Lovely attitude.
And this is reflected in the how he's performing at the moment. Confidence, as you say, key. Six top tens in just 15 starts on the PGA Tour this season for Zalatoris. Just 24. Remember that name. I tell you, he's got a big, big future. Another young man, Scott Robert McIntyre. I've got to give him big praise. Finished tied for 12th, which means he's got a guaranteed pass back to Augusta for 2022. Good efforts, showed again good consistency. Not heard much about him, I guess, being doing your business, keeping an eagle eye on all the players on the European Tour. Have you seen young McIntyre develop?
Yeah, I'd know Robert quite well, or Bob. Prefers Bob, the Open lad. I loved it when he made some money in the Scottish Open a couple of years ago in his first season, and when interviewed, he said he was going to buy his mum a kitchen. And I'm going to say, when he won his first tournament in Cyprus at the back end of our season last year, I saw something on the golf course as I was working there, and I thought, this guy really gets it. Very young, very assured, certainly confident, but certainly not arrogant or anywhere like that. He really gets it. And I thought, yeah, this guy's got something. Very natural and no edge to him. And look what's happened since. He's moved all the way through the rankings. He's in the golden triangle now, the top 50 in the world. Guaranteed a place in next year's Masters. Who knows? We might even see him playing in the match play tournament at Whistling Straits in September if we're not careful. Got a very cool homegrown Scottish management company, and got a very good, cool, very professional tour caddy from Scotland as well, Michael. Yeah, nice combo, great interviews, no edge, and can play. And again, the Masters is a tournament which is historically quite good for left-handers. Left-handers, you see Mr. Mickelson, Mike Reid, a Canadian guy that won it. And I think this year, if you looked at Brian Harman, the diminutive American player, very good putter, left-hander, and he was also there and thereabouts the top page of the leaderboard. But Bob, yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic future prospect from the tour. He's going to be one of our sort of golden boys going forward, and we'll probably lose him to the bigger picture in the American tour if he fancies that, because the world is literally his oyster. Good luck to him.
Absolutely. I was very impressed with the young man there. You mentioned there, interestingly, he's got a very kind of professional outfit behind him, and of course, a professional caddy. So, genius link here coming up. Coming back to Matsuyama, again, huge respect. His caddy isn't actually a professional, I was hearing. I found that absolutely astonishing. And he does all his own kind of range finding by himself. That's quite... I don't know, is that unique on the tour these days? It's a strange one to me. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Congratulations. But I found that a very fascinating quirk of the win for Jap in ease.
I think it's quite interesting. I think, I'm not sure, he's certainly not a professional caddy in that respect, but I think he may be an assistant professional golfer. But there's a sort of hierarchy relationship between the player and the caddy in the Japanese male world. So I think that's what's important from that point of view. But you're right, he does all the yardages. Music to my ears, you're not allowed to have the hideous greens books are not allowed at Augusta. So all that's done by feel and eye, which is amazing. One beautiful thing I heard from one of the guys who's working over there, it's very traditional at the end of the tournament, whatever tournament, if the winning caddy discreetly removes the flag from the flagpole and pops it into his pocket as a memento of a win. Now, Mr. Matsuyama's caddy, I don't know if it's a Japanese cultural thing or an Augusta thing, he took the flag and we watched it all on TV and I could see it happening, but as the flag went in and all the plaudits were taken, he held the flag, he bowed to the course and placed the flag back in the hole and walked off the green.
I like that. That's classy, isn't it?
It's very Japanese, it's very cultural, but that is not the norm. That would normally be going straight in the caddy's pocket as a memento of a major win or any tournament. But that's a fact, and that's what happened. So, yeah, different combo. Normally a professional caddy is what's required. For example, say Bob McIntyre had a good friend caddying for the first 2 years, but when he realised he wanted to go to the bigger picture, he went and took a pro caddy, and that seems to have worked for him. But you're absolutely right. Yeah, friend and non-professional caddy caddying for Mr. Hideki Matsuyama. And a very respectful man he obviously was.
Absolutely. And massive respect again to Matsuyama, making history at Augusta. Just your final thoughts on that achievement. And just again, in context, as we've alluded to, a career full of promise. He definitely got into the top 10 in the world. He slipped to 25th. But again, that amateur victory at Augusta 2011, a full decade away. For now, it's promise achieved. But before this, no wins in 92 tournaments. So it really wasn't necessarily the name on anybody's lips, was it, coming in?
No. Was not a form horse as such. I mean, he's won at the second highest level. He achieved a tremendous win in the WGC, the sort of lower level in the latter years, the sort of lower level of a major, which is a World Golf Championship. He destroyed the field with a 61 and won the Firestone WGC in Ohio, killing a huge, strong professional field. But he's gone back into the pack, plays all his golf primarily in the PGA Tour in America, but yeah, making lots of money, but not making many prize givings and not winning any tournaments, as you say. So to pull this one out, and if there was ever one to pull out of nowhere, this is it.
Not a bad one.
Not expected. So the bookies will be delighted with this victory. All the money will be on all the usual suspects, Mr. McIlroy and Mr. Johnson, who did not spend any time on the golf course at the weekend. So yeah, out of nowhere, but well deserved. A fantastic iron player. Obviously, very inscrutable as a Japanese player. Didn't look too phased to me during any of his rounds. Some of his shot choices were very bold on the final round in the last nine, which was very surprising with such a big lead. But it didn't go horribly wrong for him. So, good win. And I think the balance of probabilities, he probably deserved it. But as you say, with no form at all, as was the recent form of Justin, not really backing that up as well. But he couldn't last the course. He ran out of steam. But Hideki stuck with it. Not the most renowned putter, but say the iron play, with the way the course was set up, the firm greens and a few tricky pins on day one and day three, and the winning score, just over half of the last score at Dustin Johnson when it was...
Yeah, record-breaking, wasn't it? 20 under last year.
We saw Augusta back to its norm, you know, with the firm, fast greens and fast running and swirling wind. Just what we want for the first major of the year, and it went to a very classy iron player who saw the rest of the field off.
Yeah, absolutely. Credit once again to that man. Great stuff. And I know there's going to be lots of class acts doing the business on the European Tour. I know you're out there in Austria at the moment. Gary, what have we got to look forward to from a European Tour perspective?
Well, we're in tough times at the moment, Tony. We've ended up in Austria at our friends at the Diamond Country Club, just on the outskirts of Vienna. We've got a former major champion and a Ryder Cup hero, Martin Keimer, helping us out play this week. So he's here for the week. The guys are having a tough time in Europe. We're faced with some issues of travel to different European countries for various nationalities. that we have on the tour, and we've got some issues of all that sort of stuff. So we're managing to be looked after by the Diamond Country Club this week for the Open to Austria. And then we'll be back for two tournaments in the Canary Islands and Tenerife. And then we hopefully will be back into the UK in May at the Belfry for the British Masters, hosted by Danny Willett, a true British master, hosting his own tournament and having won the Masters in 2016 in Sutton Coldfield for that tournament. So that's the next few weeks panned out. So hopefully this week's going to be a good fill-in week in Austria for the guys who play regularly on the European Tour. Justin Harding, who won the Kenyan Opens here, and all the regulars from the European Tour just following in behind for the beginning of the spring, late spring, summer on the European Tour. That hopefully is going to just see us return to normal as we move towards our major in July, the Open at Royal St George's.
Just a few short months away. Gary, always value your time and your fantastic inputs. Remember, St. Albans' own Gary Tate, European Tour Golf referee. And just in closing, for us all to check out, to learn more about the fantastic European Tour, what's the website?
And you can always look at us at europeantour.com on Twitter and on Instagram, and europeantour.com for the live scoring of any of our tournaments on the European Tour, the Challenge Tour, or the Legends Tour for the over 50s players. And hopefully we'll have another chat when it comes to next month's major, is it USPGA at Whistling? No, where's the USPGA being held? There's a quiz question for the.
Tweet your answers in to Verulam Sports. We'll look forward to that.
Tweet into Radio Verulam for where the USPGA is being played, and we'll have a chat about it next month.
Hey, I look forward to it, Gary. Listen, it's always a pleasure to enjoy your company. Keep well, enjoy the fun out in Austria, and really appreciate your time as always. Many thanks.
Tony, anytime. Well done on the Masters picks as well. You got me there. Next one's mine.
I think so. Great minds in all that once again. Take care, Gary. Much obliged.
See you soon.